has joined. Has joined. Has joined.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Unreal. I apologize. The window that I was using closed, and I will open it as quick as I can. I believe we're on verse 366 in section 25.
I thought maybe it was 365.
Then we will start there. I think you're correct.
That's what I have also.
Very good. So it's section 25, verse 365.
Correct.
L'shem yichud kutshabrechu ishkinte bitkilu urkimu udkilu udkilu urkimu liakta l'shem yudhe bavavhe v'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah lasok Torah mitzvah. Vaihino Amaduna Eloheinu Aleinu Maseya Deinu Kenenei Aleinu Maseya Deinu Kenenei Tachatei Kama Chavisuteya Din Abraham Legabe Kudshabarichu Div Kol Atar Dahawa Azela Hawa Hayes Al Dileya Illumela begin to eat dabeka. Beya bekut shabarichu. Ugin ka ragle. Hasidav ishmor the dahio. Itea dictiva avimelech. Lokaravelecha. Uktiv ki al kein lo detaticha lingoa eleha. Come and see. Observe how much Abraham loved the Holy One, blessed be he. Wherever he went, he had no regard for his possessions at all. All his thoughts were directed toward cleaving to the Holy One, blessed be he, alone. Therefore, the verse, he guards the feet of his pious, alludes to his wife, because his feet allude to his wife, about whom it is written, now Abimelech had not come near her, and also, therefore, I did not allow you to touch her. The verse is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Questions, comments, thoughts?
did you say feet? F-E-E-T?
Say again?
Did she say feet? F-E-E-T?
Yes. That's what the verse says. In Kabbalah, the feet is the malchut of the body. And it's frequently interpreted to be that the feet is a code word for the woman, because she is the malchut in the marriage. And that's what this verse is saying. It's giving us a different interpretation than we discussed in the previously about this verse, that Hashem guarded Abraham's feet. And it's saying in this verse, it's saying that refers to Sarah, his wife.
Well, it's just adding.
It's adding it.
To the level of the high level soul that Sarah has. I mean, we already know she represents the Shekinah. And here's even another phrase or another verse praising her.
Correct. And I think yesterday you even hinted or said this, that you thought it was, that the verse could be referring to Sarah. Mm-hmm. And this verse in this pasuk in the Zohar is giving you the same thing that you said yesterday, Anna.
Don't you think it could be the feet of any woman if it represents Sarah?
The word foot, the word feet, always refers to the malchut, and in any marriage, the female is considered the malchut.
Also, when we do the tikkun hanefesh, that's the last part of the body that we touch. And so it brings the word feet to your consciousness as well.
Correct.
Has joined.
Would anybody like to make any other comments, or should I go on to the next verse?
Well, if there's female and male, couldn't the feet also represent a male? I mean, I'm taking it away from Abraham, but in generalities, it could be anybody that Hashem would guard their feet for their piousness. Or maybe I should say any tzaddik.
The example that you have to address is Devorah and her husband, I think, is Barak. Because she was pious, and he is criticized for needing her to go to war with him. So was he guarded as her feet? That's the question that in order to answer your question, that's what you'd have to come to understand in much more detail than I know.
Later, she brought him into temple service, and he would make the lapidot, the Havdalah candles. So,
well, Havdalah candles are done by either. Havdalah candles can be lit by either person. They can be put out by either person.
No, he made them. In other words, she brought him into the element of the temple. And I think his life was changed.
Well, yes, but his wife, that she was the judge, he was not the judge. The term judge in the book of Judges is referring to the leaders of the Jewish world or the leaders of the children of Israel. And the pattern in the book of Judges is that the people would follow the mitzvot, and then they would move away from it because they were influenced by the other nations. And so when it got too severe that they'd moved too far away, Hashem would send one of the nations to bother the children of Israel, and a judge would be arise to bring the other nation and defeat the other nation and bring the nation of the children of Israel back to being following the mitzvot. Devorah was the judge, not Barak. So in that case, she was the pious one. Was Barak her feet? Was he protected by Hashem? Which is what this verse says. And I don't have the background in that particular, I don't have the background in any area of the book of Nevi'im. I'm just beginning to get a background in it. But that's the question. In order to answer your question, could a male be the feet? We would have to address it in that particular couple as the example. So bringing him in to do the candles, I don't think answers the question. At least it doesn't answer it adequately.
I know. In the Torah, throughout the Torah, several times it's mentioned that women were like with Boaz and Ruth. She was told to go lay at the feet of Boaz.
Correct.
And so, you know, those two eventually made a union, you know, and got married. So I kind of, you know, and there's other examples that.
But Brandy, the idea of the woman lying at the feet, this is consistent with what the Zohar is telling us. The feet
right.
of the male is Malchut. His wife
right.
is considered Malchut.
But
Hannah is asking, can it be the other way around?
Oh, can the man be the feet?
Yes, that's what Hannah is asking.
But I was thinking in terms of when the man became more pious, a tzaddik, did teshuvah. I mean, I know the stories about Deborah and her husband, that he was illiterate. That's one midrash I read.
Right.
She turned him around to work and service in the temple. And that changed him.
But that is the work. That's the work of the female relative
right.
to the male. She builds him. She motivates him to grow spiritually.
Okay.
That's the work of the Malchut. That's how she manifests. A woman can be connected to Bina, or a woman can be connected to Malchut. And in the normal women, they move back and forth between the two. When a woman is connected to Bina, she is not the feet, but then neither is he. But within the relationship of a marriage, within the relationship of male and female, the female has 10 sephirot. She is a complete partsu. The male only has 9 sephirot because the female is his 10th. That's why it's a mitzvah for a man to get married. But it's not a mitzvah for a woman to get married. Even though she normally has a desire to be married. But that desire is not a mitzvah. The fulfillment, it goes against the male nature to be bound to one woman. It does not go against the female's nature to be bound to one man. Now, in our generation, there is a big change. In our generation, the female is growing back to the level of the male. So in our generation, I would have no problem answering your question by saying, yes, the female can be pious, and the male is the one who is the female. And you see it manifesting in many marriages where the male has become the caregiver of the children. So, but this is only in this final generation as part of the process of the growth of the female, which is prophesied in Isaiah. You all know that. You all know that prophecy. We've spoken about it many times. But your question is absolutely valid. And in our generation, in this final generation, the answer is yes. The female can be pious, and while the male is the one who is the feet. But would it apply to earlier generations? I can't answer that. And I'm suggesting that we have to become aware of it in the relationship between Devorah and Barak. I hope I'm being clear.
You are. What caused me to ask the question was the idea of about a week ago when we said that female had male and male had female. And so it made me wonder if the male could not reach that same level himself. You know, but you added a lot.
The male will never grow spiritually on his own. He requires the female to manifest and motivate him to grow spiritually. Now, I'm not married any longer. I'm striving to grow spiritually with the goal to merit meeting my soulmate. Will I achieve that in this lifetime? Only time will tell. But I was married. The fact that I was married, that process started in that marriage. Men who never marry are not growing spiritually, no matter how much Torah they study in the school, how much they study in their chevruta. If you're not married, there's the motivation to grow does not occur. It's all intellectual. It's not at the level of the emotions, which is what's needed in this physical world. The male needs to come to deal with his emotions. And yes, women have to deal with their emotions. They have tikkun, but that tikkun is not theirs. That tikkun comes from their soulmate sharing enough of his negativity with that female part of it, the joint soul, so that when she comes into the world, she's not so high that there's no interaction between the two of them. That they're close enough, she's always going to be higher than the man she marries. But the interaction of the two requires her to be close enough to his level. Being close enough to his level means that she takes on a share of the tikkun of the joint male-female soul before they come into the world. Because when she dies in one lifetime, she goes to Gehinnom and is totally cleansed. And until she comes back into the physical world, she's right up there with above the angels, right up standing next to God. She's standing next to the Shekhinah. There's no relationship between male and female in heaven. Because all of the females are righteous. All of the females are totally cleansed of any negativity. It's the men who have the negativity. And when a woman says, yes, I'm volunteering to come back into the physical world, she's accepting a share. Numerically, I'm making up a number, 40% of the tikkun of the male that she will cleanse in this lifetime. The reason why it's 40% is because she has to be close enough to him, still higher, but close enough to him to attract him. And now that I've had a chauvinistic class and I've been very uncomfortable with it, we're out of time.
Well, I have a comment before you go.
Okay.
And my comment is not chauvinistic, I don't think. It might be womanistic, but I heard a comment a long time ago and I loved it. And I keep it in my little box of sayings, and it is, the man may be the head of the household, but the woman is the neck, and she can turn him whatever way she wants to.
I've lived that remark many times.
So there you go. If the woman is Itmalku and she's here to help him with his tikkun, then, and she's the feet foot, then those little feet happen to walk him wherever he needs to go.
That's correct. Okay.
Hopefully to make his cocoon so she don't have to come back again.
Very good.
Do you stay with that song all your reincarnations? You stay with that same mate?
Go ahead, Hannah. I'm not clear on your question.
Well, throughout the different Gilgalim, is it always the same soulmate?
No. There is only one soulmate, and the only time that marriage takes place is the last lifetime. All the other marriages that take place through all the other incarnations are people that you have tikkun with. So you have a lifetime and you have two men that have created a tikkun with each other. So the woman that's taking, when she agrees to come down to this world again, she takes that 40%, and remember, I'm just making up that number as a discussion. She takes that 40% of her male's negativity. And so she has a tikkun with that the man she ends up marrying, because the tikkun starts with the two men. Now, in that lifetime of that marriage, that tikkun is cleansed. The correction takes place. So they both die. The couple dies. The man reincarnates, the woman gets cleansed in Gehinnom, and now she's given a choice. Do you want to come back down for the next lifetime and have a different husband? And because your soulmate, your male half, hasn't cleansed enough that you can meet him in this next lifetime. But it's your choice to come down or not. And women being naturally more sharing decide to come down frequently. Why? Because they know if they don't come down, there's no children. And if there's no children, there's no change. And if they do come down, they're coming down to help speed the process. I'm out of time. Should we take this up again tomorrow?
I think we can go on.
Okay. I hope you'll join us for the Tikkuni Zohar tonight in the late class. Shalom, okay. God bless everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hanok.